Mini episode 269 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by TV Howl, your home on the web for coverage of today's television scene and a look at the history of the medium as covered by big-time TV critic Adam Buckman. Follow them on the web at tvhowl.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Looking at the National League in terms of breaking this down, Rick Morris and Steve Callis breaking it down for you. National League East. Not a whole lot, again, of a great surprise. You maybe would have expected Washington and Atlanta to be a little bit further out in front at this point, a little closer to 500 than we might have thought. Atlanta with a super hot start. Washington has been pretty good the entire way, haven't really kind of broken out yet. And for a team that I picked to win 100 games, I think that should be pretty scary to everybody in that division because they haven't played their best baseball yet. Philadelphia just kind of scuffling along here. The loss of Roy Halladay after some very bad outings doesn't really bode well for their short and medium term as a franchise. The Mets, again, just kind of scuffling along themselves. They don't have a whole lot of depth there, but Matt Harvey's really emerged already as one of the best pitchers in baseball. Notice I'm not saying one of the best young pitchers. He's leaping up into the conversation with some of the big dogs here. And then Miami, again, the only difference between this year and last year is this year they were expected to be bad and they're living up to it. So what do you think when you look at the East, Steve? There are some very, very good teams, I think, especially in the one and two positions here.
Well, I thought, as we discussed before the season, Washington and Atlanta would be two teams in the playoffs coming out of that division. You're right, they have both gotten into a little slump now. Strasburg has not been good. He's been okay, but not good. It's 2-5. He's up 2.83 ERA. Atlanta has a very good team, and I think they're going to separate. Now, Atlanta's 5 games in front of Philly. Washington's 3 games in front of Philly after 41 games. That's not a gigantic league, but that's not a small league. I watch the Mets all the time. I think Harvey is the best young pitcher in baseball. It depends if you call Kershaw young at 25, I think he is. But I've watched all of Harvey's starts. He's off the charts. We might talk about him in another segment when we do your 30 top players. But Harvey goes to the top of the list in pitchers. If you're going to do a top three, a top five list for this season alone, he's definitely on it. He's 5-0. And this is with pitching an infield hit, 28 batters, 9 innings, and getting a no decision, and he's 5-0. So he's been unbelievable. But the Mets are going nowhere. They're trying to stay relevant. They can't. Miami is, once again, a disgrace down there, what they've done. They went for it last year, and so after 1 year, they blew it all up. And, now they're going for sure nowhere. Philly's kind of up and down. They do have Howard and Utley back, but I don't know if they have enough pitching-wise. So I think it's going to be, even though it is kind of close now, I think it's going to kind of be the way it is. Atlanta and Washington both making the playoffs. The Mets and Miami with no chance. And Philly, I don't think they can make a run, but they do have experience, and they have won in the past. And, again, they do have the right side of their infield, which you'll recall they did not have last year for a large part of the season. One or the other or both were out for a whole lot. So I think the analysis is correct. It's kind of what we thought, and I think that's going to broaden space between Atlanta, Washington, and the rest, when we do this again in, another 40 games or so.
Sure. I mean, Chase Utley looking better than he has really the last couple of years. With that knee, you never know how long he's going to hold up, but I'm glad to see it personally. I've always been a big Chase Utley guy, much like Mac on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I've always admired him, certainly. So I'm glad to see him back and playing well. I thought Philly would get the second wild card spot. I really did. I thought it was going to be tight. I thought they'd find a way. That was, again, I was assuming that Roy Halladay wasn't going to fall off further from last year, which he did, dramatically so, and we find out why now with having to have the time that he's going to miss due to the rotator cuff issues. Again, they're now thinking he may be back a little bit quicker than they anticipated, so we'll see about that. But Washington, they just looked like the best team in baseball coming into the season to me in terms of starting pitching, top to bottom, really, when you look at it 1-5. You mentioned Strasburg as being somebody who hasn't pitched very well. I can unfortunately say or for the sake of my non-keeper league fantasy team, Gio Gonzalez has not been giving me all that I might have wanted, selfishly, to this point in the season. But again, starting pitching, bullpen, and starting lineup, nobody in baseball, at least on paper, I think stacks up with Washington, and bullpen especially. I mean, that's what makes them a very, very special team. Adding Soriano to that bullpen, the chance that, again, you don't even have to have lights out starting pitching, but, you know, if you have a lead after six innings, it's awfully tough to come back on Washington, maybe tougher than any team in baseball with the way they can go seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning on you with those three guys.
Well, you have to give Soriano a lot of credit. You know, he got paid closer money to be the eighth inning guy in New York, and then Rivera had that bad fall, and he was unbelievable. Everybody said, oh, what are the Yankees going to do without Mariano? Soriano was Mariano last year.
Yes.
And this year, and I failed to mention in the Yankee analysis, Mariano back 16 for 16 in saves, off the charts. But Soriano, to me, is exactly what Washington needed to put them over the top. And I agree with you, and again, it's still early, but I still think Washington is going to get it together and be the dominant team. I did not pick Philly for the second wild card. I picked the Giants, I think, after they were going to lose to the Dodgers, and I'm sure we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, I think Soriano is, from a winning the World Series perspective, the biggest, most important pickup that any team made in the offseason.
I think so.
And he was lights out last year in New York.
Well, think about what it's going to be in October. When you get to those situations where every at-bat matters, especially in the late innings, with Clifford and Storen and Soriano, how many teams can bring anything like that? I mean, the teams that come to mind in the recent history of baseball, I sometimes talk about this with people. Hey, remember the Yankees in 96 when Rivera was the setup guy and Wetland was there in the ninth inning?
That's right.
Washington goes 7-8-9. Nobody does that, Steve.
No, and I think that, and again, that's why we picked them to get to the World Series.
Yeah, they're proving that they're legit. Atlanta, after the fast start, clearly not as good as they looked at that point. Few teams are, you know, as good as they looked at that point, but they look legit. They look like they could be in it all year long. We'll get to the aforementioned Giants here in a moment, but moving down into the Central, and I talked about this with Texas in the American League West, teams that, again, you look at them, you just have a tendency to kind of underestimate coming into this season. But boy, with what they have come out and done thus far at this point, and without anything at this point from Oscar Tavares, who you look at them, and he has a chance to potentially be the next franchise player for that team. But another guy that you could put in that conversation, Shelby Miller, as a pitcher, finally getting an opportunity after the last couple of years, looking like he was on the cusp, like they could have put him in there. Shelby Miller, Adam Wainwright, heck of a 1-2 punch in whatever order you want to call it. St. Louis up there. Cincinnati, we expected to be up there and playing very well, and they have been. Pittsburgh at least the fringe of contention in the division here. They're pretty close at the moment, and certainly for the second wild card spot. The Cubs in Milwaukee, you expected to be further back, and they were. The Cubs may be further back than Milwaukee, which they're not at the moment, which is kind of surprising. Maybe we would have expected a little bit more from Milwaukee, especially knowing how well Kyle Loesch was going to pitch, had we known that. But again, St. Louis and Cincinnati, this looks like it's going to be a classic duel all the way down the stretch here, and it certainly looks like the safety net of one of the wild card spots awaits the loser, Steve.
Well, I wrote off St. Louis because of Chris Carpenter.
Yeah.
I thought Wainwright could come back good. I knew about Miller. Obviously, he was dominant in that one-hitter. And I guess we should mention the dominance of the pitchers in a lot of these things. There seems to be a one-hitter, at least one every week. I think that one weekend there were three, and that was a few days after Harvey had thrown his one-hitter. So it's very interesting how sometimes in the modern game, now again, no steroid era, but how sometimes the pitchers can dominate. But I based my selection of them to be second in the division and to pick Cincinnati solely on Chris Carpenter. Can St. Louis do this the whole year? Well, you know, Yadier Molina is hitting .333. I understand how good he is, but he's the complete Molina, if you will, offensively and defensively. Beltran, since he left the Mets, had a new lease on life this year, .309, 10 home runs, 27 RBIs. I mean, Beltran, when healthy, I think a lot of the part of the problem with Mets is he was not healthy. He's an unbelievable hitter, but I think the when you look at the Cardinals, what you look at, and you alluded to it, is experience and World Series winning. And you see these guys who are showing up every day, you know, Matt Holliday, for example. These guys know how to win. Freeze, who we forget all about, even though he's having a bad season now, he's a guy who can turn it up. A guy like Descalzo is a very good player. He has to play better. But they do have depth. They do have a very good team. And And yes, with guys like Miller and even the Jake Westbrook, who can be very good, I think they can make a lot of noise. I'm still sticking with Cincinnati to win the division, and I'm going to stay with my pick because I picked them. You know, I don't want to back off picks after 40 games, but I certainly did pick, as I said, the Cincinnati Reds to win this division and the St. Louis Cardinals to be second, but not to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with you on Cincinnati. I picked them as well. Anytime you got a team, and I saw a lot of preseason picks, maybe people falling in love with the Midwest motif here, and there were some old-school World Series, I think maybe back around 1940 or so, where it was Detroit and Cincinnati. I can't remember the exact years, but you saw a lot of that of where people were picking them. Cincinnati, okay, I'm not going to put the combo of Joey Votto and Johnny Cueto up there necessarily with Verlander and Cabrera, but anytime you have a dominant number one pitcher and one of the best hitters in baseball, one of the very few best hitters in baseball, you've really got something right there in Cincinnati. It's interesting that Shin-Soo Choo hasn't cost them more games defensively at this point. A lot of people, myself included, kind of wondered how that would work with jamming him into center field in that lineup, but his bat has been truly amazing. And, yeah, Cincinnati still looks like a potential World Series team, to be sure.
I think they have two MVP candidates this year. Votto went through 40 games. Shin-Soo Choo, you have to give him credit. 322, more impressively to me, a 468 OBP. 1.052 when you combine them, OPS. I mean, those are video game numbers. 9 home runs, 19 RBIs. Votto hitting 325 with a 456 on base percentage. I mean, you put those two guys together, look, they're almost on half the time. That's unheard of in the major leagues nowadays. So do I think Shin-Soo Choo is going to do that all year? I don't, but he's been incredible. And do I think Joey Votto's going to do it all year? I do, because Votto now is a perennial MVP candidate who is, in my book, maybe a quiet superstar because he plays in Cincinnati, but he's a superstar. So I still think they're going to win. But I think right now that 1-2 punch is very formidable and one of the best in terms of playing this year, arguably the best in Major League Baseball.
And before we depart the Central here, in terms of franchise players, a name that you mentioned with St. Louis, and I'm not – this is not any kind of exact comparison or whatever, but you mentioned Carlos Beltran, and I think of, you know, defense, but, you know, speed and power, that kind of rare combo. Yep. You look in Pittsburgh with Andrew McCutchen out there in the outfield, and again, that is a guy that is a franchise player, one of the few in baseball that is capable of helping to keep a team afloat. You know, we talk about Robinson Cano, what he's done with the Yankees thus far. McCutchen has the same kind of role with Pittsburgh in trying to help keep them afloat. I've joked about this in recent years. One more reason for Cleveland people to hate Pittsburgh, because McCutchen has become what we in Cleveland always wanted and thought Grady Sizemore would become. But this guy, this freak with the physical tools, you saw what he did last year when he was the hottest player in baseball in the middle of the summer. He's a big part of the reason that the Pirates are well above 500 at this point.
I think McCutchen was an MVP candidate last year, of course, and I think he's a star player now. I think they just don't have enough. The Russell Martin thing, you're correct. They did sign him away from the Yankees, who didn't want to pay all that money. It hasn't panned out well for him. A.J. Burnett has been great at times for Pittsburgh. I just don't think they have enough depth to go with the top two.
No, nor do I. Looking at the West, again, if you said San Francisco was going to make the playoffs, and you did, kudos to you. Because, again, and I just find myself scratching my head year after year because I just keep looking at that lineup. Now, Hunter Pence is looking a little bit more like he used to look. So, and this is, I think that Pablo Sandoval is sort of the Brett Saberhagen of this decade as far as every other year. So there are some things that make it a bit more explicable, and Buster Posey is one of the best and most valuable players in baseball, as we saw last year. With his designation as such. Not a lot of surprise in the division, aside from the fact that Colorado went on that big hot streak earlier, but they've kind of come back to earth. But much like in the American League East, where it's a story of the big good surprise and the big bad surprise, and again, you know, Bruce Bochy and all those guys might say, hey, look, 2 World Series wins in 3 years, are we that big of a surprise? Okay, fair enough. I don't have to understand how you're doing it, although their pitching is always great. But Matt Cain hasn't been himself this year. So even that, I think I'm still entitled to say doing it with mirrors to an extent. because they're not even running on all cylinders. It kind of makes it scary. And that's the thing. They won the World Series both years without running on all cylinders. Barry Zito was horrible in 2010. You go on down the list here, and San Francisco at times looks like they're doing it with one arm tied behind their back, which is frightening as well as confusing. But the Dodgers, who have every advantage, I'd say more so even than the Angels and the Blue Jays that we talked about before. The Dodgers, okay, you lose Zach Greinke, your number two pitcher, who would be number one on a fair number of teams, but nobody's going to be number one except for Clayton Kershaw when he's on a staff. You go on down the list here. You talked about Matt Kemp earlier and injury potential here and him not being at full strength. That's a guy in my book. You can make a good case for him being the best hitter in baseball when healthy. We just haven't seen it. Hanley Ramirez goes down. So we've seen issues of health here, but more than anything else, underachievement. These Dodgers should not be below 500. I happen to think Don Mattingly's a pretty good manager, but regardless of what I think, that dude is getting canned after this season if things don't get much better than they have been. The minimum for this guy to keep his job has got to be 90 to 92 wins minimum.
Yeah, I think he's in trouble. I think Mattingly is a good manager as well. But the Dodgers are kind of a mystery. Now, Greinke came back and pitched well the other day, and you always have to go back to pitching. And I guess if you have to look at that division, when you look at the pitching, you're going to look at the Giants. The ace of the staff now is Madison Bumgarner.
Yes.
4-1, a whip under one. You know, mm-hmm. Harvey's is better. That's how good Matt Harvey the Mets is. But a whip under one in today's game is virtually unheard of. 2.18 ERA. So they do have Lincecum, who's been okay. Look at those names, Zito and Payne and Lincecum and Bumgarner. I don't think you could throw them out. The knock on the Giants, I thought, is just like after they won in 2010, they did nothing for the 2011 season, and then Posey got hurt. Well, they won in 2012, and now they really didn't do much. I guess they signed Scudero, but they really didn't go out and get anybody who they didn't have last year. So I think people were looking for the same negative bounce, if you will, that happened in 2011. I picked them to be the wild card. I still think the Dodgers can turn it around. Again, on the one hand, it's only 40 games. On the other hand, it gets late early out here. You know, that mm-hmm. old Yogi Berra expression. But I think the problem with the Dodgers, Matt Kemp only one home run, but I did hear an interview with him the other day. You know, he did have that shoulder surgery, and I'm of a new believer in the last 5 or 10 years where you look at these big hitters who have a wrist especially, but a shoulder surgery as well. They just can't seem to generate the power. And Kemp's hitting .282. That's not bad, but that's not Matt Kemp. But he only has one home run in 39 games, and he's got 39 strikeouts in 39 games. So that's, he's just not literally hitting the ball. And when he is hitting the ball, he's not hitting the ball for power. So that has to mean something. And it could just be a weakened shoulder that's not 100% yet. It could be like a wrist, maybe in a month or two. The weather warms up, you're looser, et cetera. But he's the offensive player who has to turn it around. And, yeah, Hanley Ramirez, up and down, an incredibly talented player, hurt again, mm-hmm. but clearly wants to play for the Dodgers, I think. And if he gets back healthy, I still think they can make a run.
Yeah, I think they can as well. And they can get some pretty good production here, as has been seen out of Adrian Gonzalez. So you're still looking at a potentially deadly middle of that lineup when healthy. So, again, my preseason pick was Washington over the L.A. Angels in the World Series. I would not at this point say that the Angels are going to win the American League, much less even make the playoffs. Of course, I had them playing Toronto in the American League Championship Series, as did a fair number of people. So, really, Detroit's got to be feeling pretty good. Detroit's the only real front runner in the American League that's playing up to snuff as far as how that goes. So I'm kind of confused as far as the American League goes. I guess if you put a gun to my head at this point, I'd say I probably like Detroit more than anybody else. Certainly like Washington still coming out of the National League. Have you seen too much to change your thoughts thus far, Steve?
Well, not really, but I also like the Angels and Washington. But a little note of caution with Detroit now. Verlander's been terrible his last two starts, mm-hmm. highly unusual. Now 4-4, but knocked around. I think he gave up 8 earned runs the other day in 2 2/3 innings, which is mm-hmm. unheard of for Verlander. But I think what we learned once again, which you learn every year, is it always comes back to the pitching. And I think, obviously, Verlander's going to have to get healthy. And I don't know when Jared Weaver's coming back for the Angels. They're in much worse shape to me than the Dodgers. They're 15-26, and the Angels are 8.5 games out. As bad as the Dodgers are, they're only six games out. San Francisco 24-17, the Dodgers 17-22. And again, I think Matt Kemp is going to get healthy. Greinke did come back and pitch well the other day. So they're having things going their way that's a positive. I don't know what the Angels have going for them that's a positive.
No, it's awfully hard to identify what that could possibly be. But that's our look at both the American League and now the National League for early season 2013.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.